Let us turn again to the Psalm 91. Psalm 91, we read the Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The verse 1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The best place to be in time of pestilence. I indicated earlier on that this is a most relevant psalm in our present crisis in our nation and in the world. There is a pestilence that stalks the land, not just our land, but all lands and all nations. A pestilence that has not taken years to transit the world. But because of modern travel, it has only taken weeks. The psalm describes a fearful pestilence. Verse 3, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. In verse 6, Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. While it is a fearful pestilence that is described, this is not a fearful psalm. It is a most comforting psalm for God's people, for them who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because this psalm is about the saints' safety and security in times of danger and trouble. It tells us about the best place to be. It tells us about the best thing to do in that place. The best place to be is in the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. That's where David is. He's in that place. And in that place, he's trusting. In him will I trust, the psalmist says. The place is under the shadow of the Almighty. And so verse 1 tells us about the place. Verse 2 tells us about the trust. The psalm is filled, literally packed with promises for the saint who is in that place and who is in that place with that trust. In whom are all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ, in this place. This place is the place all true believers are in. Now, before we look at what that means and what this place is, I think it is important to say something about the background and the possible authorship of this psalm. The psalm has no title, but there is a belief that its author is Moses. If you see the title that is in the preceding psalm, Psalm 90, A Prayer of Moses, a Man of God, I think the belief is very probable that Moses also penned Psalm 91. Psalm 91 carries on a similar theme. You'll notice that in Psalm 90, verse 1, it says, The Lord has been our dwelling place. And Psalm 91, it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So there are similar themes here of God being the dwelling place of his people. Now you are to understand that the Psalter is divided into five books. The third book ends with Psalm 89. The doxology at the end of Psalm 89 indicates to us that that is the end of another book. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Similar doxologies conclude the five books of the Psalter. Book 4 commences with Psalm 90. And the fourth book contains the Psalms 90 through to 106. You'll notice at the end of Psalm 106, we have another doxology. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. So this fourth book in the Psalter begins with the title, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. And some have suggested that Moses penned all the Psalms in this book. Now that cannot be so because two have David's name. Psalm 101, a Psalm of David. Psalm 103, a Psalm of David. One thing is interesting though about the name Moses in the Psalter. It occurs 8 times. And only once outside this fourth book. That's in Psalm 77, verse 20. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The other 7 occurrences of the name of Moses then are in this fourth book. In the psalm title, in Psalm 90. In Psalm 99, verse 6, Moses and Aaron among his priests. Psalm 103, verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Psalm 105, verse 26, he sent Moses his servant. Psalm 106, verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp. Psalm 106, verse 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. And then Psalm 106, verse 32, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. So this fourth book in the Psalter is certainly a Moses-dominated book. And while we cannot be confident Moses penned every psalm, I think it is very probable that as well as certainly writing Psalm 90, he wrote Psalm 91. I stress this because in these psalms there is the presence of death and destruction. Both these psalms may be recalling the 40 years wilderness wanderings. Multitudes are falling in the wilderness. Men and women are dying. Literally dying. Psalm 90, verse 3, Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return ye children of men. Verse 5, Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. So the unbelieving Israelites are perishing in the wilderness, falling short of the promised land. And in Psalm 91, thousands are depicted as falling. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So these psalms seem to recall the wilderness experience when many were perishing. But in the wilderness, while many were perishing, there was a remnant that was preserved. Israel did not all perish in unbelief. Some believed. Some were preserved. Some entered the land of promise. Some were kept. And those were the ones who had faith. Those were the ones who had made the Lord their habitation. You have it again in Psalm 95. This is the sixth psalm in the Mosaic part of the Psalter, the book 4. Psalm 95, verse 7 through to 11, He is our God. We are His people, the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. And I think then the wilderness wanderings are the backdrop of Psalm 91. The people perishing were not in the dwelling place. They had no faith in the Lord. They had not made the Lord their refuge and fortress. They were not under the shadow of the Almighty. The preserved were. They were dwelling in the Lord. They had faith in Christ. We can look then at Psalm 91. With that backdrop, a twofold division of the psalm is noticeable. Verses 1 to 8 contains the first part of the psalm. Verses 9 through to 16 contain the second part. It's an even division. 8 verses in each part. You will observe that each part begins with a similar theme. It begins with the dwelling place or the habitation. Verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then in verse 9, Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Here's the dwelling place. Here's the habitation. You will notice also that the divine name Most High, while it only occurs twice in this psalm, it occurs in the first verse of the first part, and it occurs in the first verse of the second part in verse 9. The Most High, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The Most High, thy habitation, verse 9. And so these words clearly identify this twofold division, beginning each part beginning with a similar theme. You will notice also that each part ends with a similar theme. In verse 8, Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And then again in verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This theme of seeing, this theme of being shown. You'll see with your eyes. You'll see the reward of the wicked. Your own eyes shall behold it. You'll see God's salvation. And so the idea of seeing concludes each part. He who is in the right place with God, verse 1 and verse 9, will see things, verse 8 and verse 16. The Lord will show him things. He that is under the shadow of the Almighty will have things manifested to him by God. You know, if you're in the dwelling place of a great person and they're wealthy and maybe they are collectors of great things and you are befriended by them, and in their dwelling place you have the privilege of being able to enter, they may show you around. They may let you see the house. They may show you their precious things. You may see the things that they have collected that are rare. It's a great privilege to be shown things in a great house. And he who is in the Lord will see things. The Lord will show him things. You remember Hezekiah. He had people who came to see him from afar. And the Bible says that Hezekiah showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Now in Hezekiah's case, he ought not to have done that. He was rebuked for having done that. But God does something like that to his people. He shows them things in his dwelling place. In the dwelling place of the Most High, God's people will be shown things by the Lord. We can look then upon Psalm 91 as a response to the plea at the end of Psalm 90. What did Moses say at the end of Psalm 90? Satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. How's Moses going to be made glad? How's God's people going to be made glad? How are they going to be satisfied? How are they going to be rejoicing? It is when they see things from the Lord, when he shows them things. And so thus Moses prays, verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Lord, show us things. Show us yourself. Show us your glory. Show us your work, your power, your majesty. Show us things. Let us see things, Lord. And this Psalm 91 is a response to that. The Lord promises to show things to them who are under his shadow. The scene in Psalm 91 relates to two things. On the one hand, there is the end of the wicked, verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. God's judgment upon the ungodly. God's intervention amongst the abominable. And then, on the other hand, there is seeing the divine salvation. Verse 16, show him my salvation. He'll see the great deliverances of God that he has for his people. The Lord will show his people what they have in Christ. justification and sanctification and glorification, the great redemption. They'll be shown these things by the Lord. Every time in God's house when we come together to hear the word of the Lord, I trust that we see things in the word. As we gather in the tabernacle of our assembly, which we're not able to do so today because of the pestilence that is in the land, but whenever we do gather, I trust that we see things, and the Lord shows us things out of Scripture. The things in Scripture are the best things to see. In fact, the Bible is God showing us. God showing us His great salvation. God showing us the dwelling place that we're in Christ. God showing us the things that are ours. God showing us His promises and His precious things. And all the beauty of Jesus. And so the Bible is God showing us, and I trust when we come to God's house, we see things from the Bible. I trust even today, as we look into the Psalm 91, that the Lord shows us things, that the things of God appear to us. Pray that they will. Pray that the Lord open your eyes, open thy mine eyes, that I may see, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. But I have to emphasize that this dwelling place doesn't just relate to God's house. The dwelling place is not the place of public worship. It is far more profound than that. This is not just being in the synagogue, are the assembly building, are among God's people. You're not among God's people today because of the pestilence. We have to confine ourselves to our homes today. But this is not about being among God's people. This is about being in the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Moses here is speaking about the most profound thing of all. He's speaking about unity with God. This is about union with the Savior. God's people didn't perish in the wilderness. They entered into the promised land. Why? Because they were in the Lord. They were in Him by faith. They were trusting in Him. Like being in a refuge or a tower, a house. They were in the Lord. They were in a secret place. They were right under His wing. So we are talking here ultimately about union with the Lord. It is brought out more clearly in the New Testament. This is Pauline doctrine that Moses is speaking of. And I have to say to you today, the best place to be in the days of trouble and trial, and in the days of pestilence such as we are experiencing in our day, the best place to be is in Christ. He is our rock. He is our refuge. The whole church, even when it cannot meet, is in the Lord, dwelling in God. That's where you are, child of God, today. Be comforted. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We dwell in the Lord. Do you remember how the Saviour said, abide in me, and I in you? As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And that's what happened in the wilderness. The unbelievers, the unbelieving, they perished. They were cast forth as branches. But those who were in the dwelling place of the Most High, those who had their faith in Christ, they were ushered on in to the land of promise. What did Paul call this? Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. What did Paul call this? He called it in Christ. In Christ. The epistle that really brings this out is his epistle to the Ephesians. That expression, in Christ, or in him, occurs there many times. This is the secret place of the Most High. The place set aside through in all eternity past, in Christ, under the shadow, under the wing of the Lord. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The blessings are in Christ. The promises are in him. Verse 4 of Ephesians 1, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. In whom? There you have it. In whom? In him. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In this place we have the cleansing. In this place we have the forgiveness. According to the riches of his grace, found in this place alone in Christ. And then verse 11. In whom? Also we have obtained an inheritance. And verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. You have faith in him, you have your trust in him, and trusting in him you are in him, and in him you have redemption, and in him you have an inheritance, and in him you have all the spiritual blessings. What need you to worry about a virus? Whenever you have all these things in Christ, and should a virus take you, it is but Christ's messenger to bring you to himself. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is the place, in Christ. And so in speaking to the people of God today, you can be comforted in these uncertain times. You believe on the Lord Jesus. You trust in the Savior. You are in him then by faith. That's the best place to be. Be comforted. Rest assured then. There shall not a dart you hit until your God of love sees fit. In Christ, nothing enters in to touch you but what he ordains and appoints, and what he ordains and appoints, he does for your good, for your everlasting benefit, for your ultimate salvation. Keep on trusting in Christ, child of God, in these days. Keep on acknowledging him, as it says here in this psalm. Keep on calling upon him. Keep on resting in him and trusting, believing. And you, sinner, unconverted sinner, you who have not faith in the Lord Jesus, you who have not come to him to enter into him, to enter into his rest, to enter into his salvation, you who have shut him out from your life, and who will not enter into him to enjoy his life, because you are not in this place. The promises of this psalm do not belong to you. You have not the faith, the trust. You need to come to Christ, sinner. You need to get to the Savior. You need to be joined to him by faith. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Come and enter into the dwelling place of the Most High. Come under the shadow of the Almighty. Come under the wing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And say of him, Jesus is my refuge. Jesus is my fortress. Say of him, in him, in the crucified, risen, ascended one, will I trust. Say that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in these days of uncertainty, whatever befalls you, the promises of this psalm can be yours. So enter in and be saved.